Welcome to the PE Revision Podcast, your go-to audio guide for smashing your physical education exams. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important and most frequently examined topics in the whole specification, exercise physiology. Whether you're sitting GCSE or A-level, this episode is packed with everything you need, from energy systems to nutrition strategies, training zones to exam technique. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Today's episode runs for around 10 minutes, and here's what we're covering. First, we'll break down the three energy systems and how they work. Then we'll look at training zones and what happens physiologically in each one. After that, we'll explore nutrition, macronutrients, micronutrients, and fueling strategies. Then I'll give you my top exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. And we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test your memory. Let's go. Section 1. The three energy systems. Every single movement your body makes requires energy, and that energy comes in the form of ATP, adenosine triphosphate. Your body can only store a tiny amount of ATP at any one time, so it has three systems for resynthesizing it. Understanding these systems is absolutely fundamental to exercise physiology, and examiners will award marks for accurate, specific descriptions of each one. The first system is the ATP-CR system, also called the phosphocreatine system or the lactic anaerobic system. This system works without oxygen, it's anaerobic, and it produces no lactic acid, which is why it's called a lactic. It kicks in immediately at the start of exercise and powers explosive, maximal intensity activity for roughly 0 to 10 seconds. Think of a 100-meter sprinter exploding out of the blocks or a weightlifter performing a clean and jerk. The fuel source is phosphocreatine stored in the muscle, which is broken down to release energy and resynthesize ATP very rapidly. The byproduct is simply creatine and phosphate, no lactic acid, no carbon dioxide. The limitation is that PCR stores are very limited and deplete within about 10 seconds of maximal effort. The second system is the lactic acid system, also called the glycolytic system or the lactate system. This is also anaerobic, it works without oxygen, but unlike the ATP-CR system, it does produce lactic acid as a byproduct. It dominates from roughly 10 seconds to around 90 seconds of high-intensity activity. Think of an 800-meter runner, a 400-meter swimmer, or a rugby player making repeated high-intensity sprints. The fuel source is glycogen and glucose, which are broken down through a process called anaerobic glycolysis. This produces ATP relatively quickly, but the accumulation of hydrogen ions, which come from lactic acid dissociating, causes muscle fatigue and that burning sensation athletes feel. Examiners want you to be precise here. It's actually the hydrogen ions, not lactic acid itself, that cause the drop in pH and contribute to fatigue. The third system is the aerobic system, also called the oxidative system. This system requires oxygen and is the dominant energy system for activities lasting longer than approximately 90 seconds at moderate to low intensity. Marathon runners, cyclists, rowers, and triathletes rely heavily on this system. The fuel sources are glycogen, glucose, and, crucially, fats. In fact, at lower intensities, fats become the primary fuel source, which is why the fat-burning zone is associated with lower-intensity aerobic exercise. The aerobic system produces the most ATP per unit of fuel, around 38 ATP molecules from one molecule of glucose, making it highly efficient. The byproducts are carbon dioxide and water, which are harmless and easily removed from the body. The limitation is that it's slower to produce ATP, so it can't fuel explosive, maximal efforts. A key point examiners love to test. All three systems work simultaneously, but one dominates depending on the intensity and duration of the activity. The transition between systems is gradual, not sudden. Section 2, training zones and physiological thresholds. Now let's look at training zones. These are intensity ranges, usually expressed as a percentage of maximum heart rate, and each zone has distinct physiological characteristics and training benefits. Zone 1 is the recovery zone, roughly 50 to 60% of maximum heart rate. The aerobic system dominates, fat is the primary fuel, and the intensity is very low. This is used for active recovery between training sessions. Zone 2 is the aerobic base zone, 60 to 70% of maximum heart rate. This is sometimes called the fat burning zone because fat oxidation is at its highest here. Long, slow distance training sits in this zone. Marathon runners spend a huge amount of their training time here to build their aerobic base. Zone 3 is the aerobic threshold zone, 70 to 80% of maximum heart rate. Both carbohydrates and fats are used, and this is where tempo runs and sustained moderate intensity training occur. Training in this zone improves aerobic capacity and lactate clearance. Zone 4 is the anaerobic threshold zone, 80 to 90% of maximum heart rate. This is a critical zone. The anaerobic threshold, sometimes called the lactate threshold, is the point at which lactic acid begins to accumulate in the blood faster than it can be cleared. Above this threshold, fatigue sets in rapidly. Training in Zone 4 pushes this threshold higher, meaning athletes can sustain higher intensities before fatiguing. The glycolytic system is increasingly dominant here. Carbohydrates are the primary fuel. Zone 5 is the maximum zone, 90 to 100% of maximum heart rate. This is all-out effort. The ATPCR and lactic acid systems dominate. VO2 max training occurs here. VO2 max is the maximum volume of oxygen the body can consume per minute per kilogram of body weight, and it's considered one of the best indicators of aerobic fitness. Elite endurance athletes have very high VO2 max values. Section 3, nutrition for performance. Now let's talk about nutrition, because diet and training are inseparably linked. Examiners want you to connect specific nutrients to specific physiological processes and sporting contexts, not just list foods. Macronutrients are the big three: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Carbohydrates are the body's preferred fuel for moderate to high-intensity exercise. They're stored as glycogen in the muscles and liver. Carbohydrates provide 4 kilocalories per gram. Before high-intensity or endurance events, carbohydrate loading, systematically increasing carbohydrate intake in the days before competition, can maximize glycogen stores and delay fatigue. A marathon runner, for example, would benefit significantly from carbohydrate loading. Proteins provide 4 kilocalories per gram and are essential for muscle repair, growth, and recovery. After resistance training or any exercise that causes muscle damage, protein intake within 30 to 60 minutes post-exercise, the so-called anabolic window, maximizes muscle protein synthesis. A weightlifter or rugby player would prioritize protein intake post-training. Fats provide 9 kilocalories per gram, more than double the energy density of carbohydrates or protein. They're the primary fuel for low-intensity, long-duration aerobic exercise. Unsaturated fats from sources like nuts, avocado, and oily fish are preferable for health. Fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K require dietary fat for absorption. Micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals are needed in smaller amounts but are critical for performance. Iron is essential for hemoglobin production and oxygen transport. A deficiency causes anemia and significantly impairs aerobic performance. Calcium supports bone density and muscle contraction. Vitamin D supports muscle function and immune health. Vitamin C acts as an antioxidant, supporting immune function and collagen synthesis. Hydration is also critical. Even a 2% loss of body water through sweat can impair performance. During prolonged exercise, sports drinks containing electrolytes and carbohydrates help maintain performance. Section 4, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, this is where I can really help you pick up marks. Let me give you my top exam tips. Tip 1, always define your terms precisely. If a question asks you to explain the anaerobic threshold, don't just say it's when exercise gets hard. Say, the anaerobic threshold is the exercise intensity at which lactic acid begins to accumulate in the blood faster than it can be cleared, typically occurring at around 80 to 90% of maximum heart rate. That's the kind of precision that earns full marks. Tip 2, link training zones to specific sports and athletes. Examiners award marks for application. Don't just say aerobic training improves endurance. Say a marathon runner training in zone 2 at 65% of maximum heart rate will improve fat oxidation efficiency and spare glycogen stores, delaying the onset of fatigue at mile 20. Tip 3. When answering extended response questions about diet and training, use the structure. Training zone, energy system, fuel requirement, dietary strategy, physiological outcome. This ensures you cover all the marking points. Tip 4, don't confuse the fat burning zone with high intensity training. This is one of the most common mistakes. Fat burning is highest at low to moderate intensities. Zone 2. At high intensities, carbohydrates dominate. Candidates who say fat is burned most at high intensity will lose marks. Tip 5, use command words correctly. If the question says evaluate, you must make a judgment. Don't just describe. If it says analyze, break it down into components. If it says explain, give the mechanism, the how and the why. Section 5, quick fire, recall, quiz. Okay, let's test your memory. I'll ask a question, pause, then give the answer. Try to answer before I do. Question 1, What is the fuel source for the ATP-CR system? The answer is phosphocreatine, stored in the muscle. Question 2. At what percentage of maximum heart rate does the anaerobic threshold typically occur? Around 80 to 90% of maximum heart rate. Question 3. Which macronutrient provides 9 kilocalories per gram? Fats. Question 4. What does VO2 max measure? The maximum volume of oxygen the body can consume per minute per kilogram of body weight. Question 5. What is the byproduct of the lactic acid system that contributes to muscle fatigue? Hydrogen ions, which lower muscle pH? How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off. Let's bring it all together. Exercise physiology is about understanding how the body produces energy, how training zones relate to those energy systems, and how nutrition supports and enhances performance and recovery. The three energy systems, ATP-CR, lactic acid, and aerobic, each dominate at different intensities and durations. Training zones from 1 to 5 map onto these systems and guide how athletes structure their training. Macronutrients fuel and repair the body, while micronutrients support the underlying physiological processes. And the key to exam success is precision, application, and linking everything together. Remember the mnemonic AGA for the energy systems? Alactic, glycolytic, aerobic, in order of increasing duration and decreasing intensity. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing, and I'll see you in the next episode.